get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the Snake Pit.
Brought to you by
Twin Peaks. With something completely over the top.
Twin Peaks. Okay, thank you very much. We're at Rock and Brews up here in the colony. And we are here not only courtesy of Rock and Brews, but also Hop and Sting, the wonderful brewery in Grapevine. We are here courtesy of the Texas Legends, who have all sorts of stuff to give away, including tickets. So come visit us at Hop and, or I'm sorry, not at Hop and Sting. We are at Rock and Brews right here off Nebraska Furniture Mart Drive in the colony. So this week, my dudes,
yes,
is the 30th anniversary of the release of Pulp Fiction.
Wow, 30 years, huh?
30 years. This week in 1994, Pulp Fiction came and hit the big screens. And I do not know if you guys remember going to see the movie in the theater or not.
I do.
Yeah, I believe I did.
I mean, that was... I wasn't aware of Reservoir Dogs before Pulp Fiction, I don't believe.
Oh, you weren't?
I think Pulp Fiction was my first exposure to Tarantino.
I feel the same. I think so. I think seeing Pulp Fiction made me want
to go back. Yeah. Probably everybody went to Blockbuster and got the videotape for Reservoir Dogs. Well,
that's right.
There's a lot that went into Pulp Fiction, but I wanted to focus on one particular scene because I wasn't aware of this until I started digging around. The scene that most people still talk about when it comes to Pulp Fiction,
Blueberry Tarantino's pancakes.
The Gimp?
It's not the girl with the pot belly, Bob.
Zed's dead.
It is the Gimp. And
that's where the movie takes
the
most bizarre turn of all the bizarre turns.
I want to do the pot belly.
So the deal is that Tarantino wanted to bring you these scenes that were almost stereotypical, like a boxer fixing a fight, which is what Bruce Willis's character did, and Marcellus Wallace, the gang leader, then goes after him. And they were thinking, well, what can we do? How can we take a left turn of just a boxer fixing a fight and a mob boss getting mad? Because that happens in movies a lot.
Yeah.
And so they came up with the idea, which Tarantino had had for another movie, of the Gimp. And what happens is that these two redneck dudes that own this pawn shop, after Marcellus Wallace and Bruce Willis's character get into this big fight in the middle of the street, a car crash, and they're going after each other, and there's guns and everything, and these two pawn shop guys, it spills over into their scene. They end up basically kidnapping these two guys, sticking them at the bottom of their pawn shop, putting ball gags around them, orange ball gags, which became very stereotypical.
Yeah, that's now a bingo for Gordon.
Right.
Sure is.
And then, if that wasn't enough of crazy, these two rednecks say to each other, go get the Gimp. And they open up this door, this trap door that's inside of the basement of the pawn shop, and here emerges this man clad head to toe in leather bondage gear. Like, you can't see anything. And he kind of just is there.
With the zipper mouth and everything.
With the zipper mouth and everything. One of the proprietors of the pawn shop, I believe Peter Green is his name, he ends up raping Ving Rhames' character, Marcellus Wallace. Bruce Willis escapes, punches the Gimp in the face, and comes back with a samurai sword to kill the two proprietors and the rapists.
Yeah, it's a moment for Bruce Willis's character because he could just get away.
Right.
But he goes back for his hated rival.
Yeah.
And he's I can't just leave him down there.
And in this 1 minute of audio, there's so much gold and so much stuff that we remember forever, this dialogue from this movie. But this is the rape ends. And Bruce Willis is staring at this cop with a sword, and Ving Rhames grabs the shotgun.
Come on, that up, boy. I want you to pick it up. See?
Step aside, Brooke.
Oh.
Nah, man. I'm pretty f***ing far from okay.
What now?
What now? Let me tell you what now. I'ma call a couple of hard pipe hit b****s to go to work on the homes here with a pair of pliers and a blowtorch. You hear me talking, hillbilly boy? I ain't through with you by damn sight. I'ma get medieval on your ass.
All right, you can pause it there. So that, I mean, there's so much in there, and I'm going to get medieval on your ass became part of pop culture lexicon, and we used it all the time, you know, joking around with friends and stuff like that. Okay, so the GIMP, the story of the GIMP. So this guy, originally, this was Tarantino's idea where he said, this is about 5 years ago, he said, my idea was that this was a hitchhiker that these two hillbillies picked up 7 years ago, and basically became this sex slave. And so he was conditioned that he would, you saw him in the movie, he didn't even fight it. Like, he just comes out of the box in his leather gear. They got him chained to this thing at the top of the ceiling so he didn't get away, but he didn't even try. He's just part of the scene.
Yeah.
And so,
and that goes back to Tarantino's madness, and the method to his madness is that every bit of every story has a backstory that he has created.
Right. Well, he didn't create this backstory because in the 70s, there was a girl who hitchhiked from Eugene, Oregon down to California, and a California couple took her. And for 7 years, just like he said, this hitchhiker was picked up. This girl named Colleen Stan became this sex slave who lived in a box underneath their waterbed. Like, total true story. You can look up Colleen Stan. It is insane. And they eventually, you know, caught this couple and was sentenced to 104 years in prison. It was it's a terrible story, but Tarantino had that idea in his head that that's who the GIMP was. So, who is the GIMP? Have you guys have any idea who the GIMP is?
The actor inside the suit? No, right. I never even thought about it.
So, the GIMP was a writer for Saturday Night Live who befriended Tarantino because Tarantino went to a taping of the show and he got to know Julia Sweeney. He randomly went to this taping. He went to see Harvey Keitel, who's in the movie as the fixer.
Yeah. Winston Wolfe.
Winston Wolfe. And befriends Julia Sweeney. Remember her from It's Pat?
Absolutely.
And you remember Julia Sweeney is in the movie at the very end. She's part of the crew that cleans up Vincent Vega and Winston Wolfe. She helps do all that. That's It's Pat.
Okay.
She was married to this guy named Stephen Hibbert. And that is the actor. They became friends because Stephen and Tarantino had like this connection over crazy old Italian directors. They became buddies. Tarantino randomly calls him one day and was like, I think I got a part for you. And he's like, all right, cool. And he goes in there and he was like, I need you to be a sex slave. He's like, what? He goes, I'm a comedy guy. And he's like, yeah, I don't have anything for that, but I got this for you. And so, sure enough, he auditions for it. He makes him audition, and he gets the gig. So he's like, oh, my God, now I've got to tell everybody what I'm doing and who I am and all this. And he signed all these NDAs so nobody would actually know who he was. But Stephen Hibbert, in his early 30s, goes on the set, and they rent all this bondage gear from one of these sex stores or whatever, and away he goes. So it took 3 days to film this, and after the movie came out, still, this is back in the day, clearly, where there was no internet. And also, when you're listed, this guy was not famous, and his number was listed. And so he goes and sees the movie. He's like, I cannot believe how great it turned out, how crazy the scene is and everything. And he goes home after seeing on the opening weekend, maybe it was the screening night, he had 22 messages on his phone. One was from his mom, who couldn't believe what she had just seen.
Yeah.
How could you do this?
The other 21 are from gay guys who waited around to see who was in the GIMP.
As the GIMP.
Yes, Stephen Hibbert. 21 calls of like, hey, man, if you're really into this type of thing, I am too. And
I was totally into your performance.
Yes.
Wow.
So he's got to fight through all these messages. He says that if he would have saved that tape, he would be a millionaire right now because it was so hilarious. Each and every call was the same thing. Like, God, man, you so turned me on in that GIMP outfit.
You're a natural.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So when he was talking about filming it, and he said Bruce Willis was the biggest sweetheart of all time because as things would break down in filming, Willis would always turn and say, guys, look, they're in this. So the pawn shop was one set. The pawn shop didn't actually have a basement where the GIMP was hiding out and where the rape took place. They made a set to look like it, and it was real
Can
tiny.
Can you stop saying that word?
Sorry. And it was real tiny, the sexual assault.
I'm going to agree with
Dave. The fake sexual assault. And it was so hot in there. And there were very few people that were working down there. Well, Bruce Willis, as they went after take, was like, guys, we have a dude in here who's 6'3", 230 pounds, in full leather gear, who's in a box. It's about 300 degrees for him. Get this effing thing moving. And he said every day, it was only 3 days, but every day after they finish, Bruce Willis would walk him
take
over.
Take him by the chain.
Yeah, take him by the chain. Walk him over to his trailer. Unzip his zipper mask, and his assistant would make vodka tonics for him, and they would sit there, and as he said, we would watch baseball, and Bruce Willis was the nicest superstar he had ever met, because that was fresh off of Die Hard.
Wow.
Bruce Willis was one of the biggest stars in the world, and so he's sitting there in his full bondage gear, drinking gin and tonics, and with Bruce Willis as the scene goes on.
Incredible.
And fishing a straw through the zipper.
Yes, yeah. So that obviously was like his moment of acting for his entire life. He's the GIMP. Stephen Hibbert, who's still around and eventually got divorced from Julia Sweeney.
Oh.
But, yeah, that is the story and the history of the GIMP. 30 years ago this week, Pulp Fiction debut.
Awesome.